Beloved, welcome to Grace Life Komi Podcast. This is a special word cruise with Pastor Chimdi Ohahuna. This teaching series is titled, Success by the Spirit. There is need for every believer in Christ, the born-again child of God, to know the difference between success according to God and as defined by the world. God desires that every of His child achieve good success on a daily basis, not suddenly or once in a lifetime. We encourage you, our beloved listener, to give yourself wholly to receive what God has for you via this teaching episode. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.
We give God the thanks and the praise for the second day of this meeting. We appreciate God for what He did yesterday. We were blessed. And I learned quite a lot. Amen to Jesus. This is Success by the Spirit, maiden edition 2022. And yesterday was a great kickstart. And we trust the Holy Spirit for greater insights today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We trust the Holy Spirit that our lives will be transformed by God's word today in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
All right, we're going to be continuing. Yesterday we learned that the word success appears only once in the Bible, and that English word success appears only once in the Bible, and it's actually in the Old Testament, Joshua chapter 1 verse 8, that happened to be our core scripture. We began to look at success from human standpoint, from the humanistic definition of success, and we went into looking at it from God's definition, and we were able to get one of the words that defines success yesterday and began to look into it yesterday. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah
to Jesus. The purpose of this is for us to get the definition of success from God's point of view. Society has defined it for us, and the church has been able to inculcate society's definition of success into the church and published it and made it the norm, but that is not actually what it's meant to be. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. I remember teaching on Grace to Prosper. We understood that prosperity was all spiritual and all virtues. Amen to Jesus. And there's no way you have those virtues and you will not manifest God here on earth. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. And so we are seeing that the same light, the same way success is stolen. Amen to Jesus. Over the years, the church has emphasized on things and exteriors instead of interior. And that's why people have chased things and they have left God. And that's been our greatest challenge. But we're trusting God that with revelations of this kind, we'll be going back to God and we'll be seeking the real thing. And we don't need to pray for other things when we seek the real things.
Yes.
They'll just flow. Amen to Jesus.
Amen.
All right, so today we're going to be looking at another word that is, defines good success, and that's the word to be circumspect. To be circumspect. Amen to Jesus. And this one is another very important one. We'll see how God can help us go to tomorrow. Amen to Jesus. Wherever the Lord helps us, stop, we stop and continue when next we can continue. Amen to Jesus. Now, the Merriam-Webster dictionary defines circumspect as thinking carefully about possible risks before doing or saying something. Thinking carefully about possible risks before doing or what? Saying something. Actually, this is a very crucial and pertinent virtue because our actions either make or break us. Amen to Jesus. Also, our tongue can either build or destroy, raise up or burn down our lives. Praise God forevermore. That is a very important, very, very important virtue. The ability to think carefully about the possible risk before doing or saying something. One of the challenges is that we have it, a lot of people is that they don't take time to analyze things. Remember once a taxi driver was carrying us, and when we are taking the price of something, we do a serious analysis of the price, and the guy was like, oh, economy. And sometimes people wonder why we have to analyze things before we go into them. You see, people who don't analyze things before they go into them, they live by chance.
Yes.
They live by chance. And let me tell you, there's nothing that chance has to offer. there's no luck in life. Everything attained in life is as a result of deliberate actions. Praise God forevermore. And so if your actions are not deliberate, they are indeliberately deliberate. Are we together? Like somebody said, not thinking is to think of not thinking. So when you say I'm not thinking, you're actually thinking that you're not thinking, but you're actually thinking, praise God forevermore. So there is nothing left to chance in life. Anything that is left to chance is still a decision to give it to chance. So in other words, you have made a decision, praise God forevermore. So people who just live life to chance or live life recklessly, you discover that life just takes, you know, it's toll on them anyhow it wants. And some Christians are victims of this kind of, you know, things in life. You see some Christians and they see that they are not circumspect in the way they are in their approach towards life. And when you are circumspect, they begin to give you names. But you see, God never intended for us to be careless. He intended for us to be circumspect. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to you. Life revolves around what we do and say. That's what life revolves around, what we do and what we say. In fact, in the Western world, when the police get a suspect, he said, they will tell them, you have the right to remain silent. Whatever you say may be used against you in the court of law. Praise God forevermore. Now, so life revolves around what we do and what we say. And most of the times, we have not come to accept this truth, and life revolves around it. Some people are just careless with their words. Some people are just careless with their actions. And just they just do things, and you know. And one thing is that we always get the repercussion for our words, whether it is now or later, we will get it. And we always get the repercussion for our actions, whether it is now or later, we must get it. And most of the times, people don't want to really accept that truth. Praise God forevermore. But it's a truth that cannot be denied. Even if you deny it, it will still catch up with you. Praise God forevermore. So life is built around what we say and what we do. Thus, this determines whether we attain good success or not in life. It's about what we do and what we say. Our actions and our words determine whether we attain good success in life or not. There are some people, they just messed up a big time opportunity with just one word. Praise God forevermore. With just one word, they messed up a big time opportunity. Some have messed up a big time opportunity with one action. Amen to Jesus. You know, somebody was telling me about a particular person who, you know, someone else wanted to give this person a check to the tunes of some, you know, good big money. But unknown to the woman, this person in question had, you know, had carnal knowledge of her daughter. And another past person there told the woman, before the woman wanted to write the check, he told the woman, ah, is it that man you want to give the check to? That man that has had carnal knowledge of her daughter. And as she heard it instantly, she tore the check. Are you getting what I'm saying? That was some big money that had entered the man's hand. But she tore the check. Now, you say, ah, it was not meant for him. No, it was meant for him. It was action that spoiled everything. Now, you get what I'm saying? Sometimes people don't know how one action can destroy a big opportunity. Some people don't know how one word can destroy a big opportunity in life. Praise God forevermore. And that's why we must know that life revolves around what we do and what we say. Praise God.
Hallelujah.
All right, this makes us understand that daily circumspection results in daily success. Daily circumspection results in daily. I believe in daily life. Are you getting what I'm saying? Daily life. You see, most of the times Christians look for a sudden miracle. But the actual fact is that when it comes to good success, there is nothing like a sudden good success. Like somebody said, some people are saying that he just came from nowhere. Nobody comes from nowhere. Everybody comes from somewhere. Praise God forevermore. Daily actions, daily words, daily, and then they build up. Amen to Jesus. If they serve and obey me, they shall spend their days in prosperity and their years in what? Pleasure. So daily prosperity culminates into yearly pleasure. But if you are not experiencing daily prosperity, then don't expect what? A yearly what? Pleasure. And a lot of people are looking for yearly pleasure when they've not been experiencing daily prosperity. Some people are looking for yearly good success when they've not been experiencing daily good success. And the Christian life, we must understand our life is about daily activities. Jesus told them to pray, give us this day our daily bread. It's about daily. Praise God forevermore. So now we see that good success and circumspection entails two things, doing and saying. And so we're going to be handling them from this perspective, doing circumspection from the doing perspective and circumspection from the saying perspective. We're going to be handling them in that light. Praise God forevermore. All right, now looking at doing. Risk analysis is a major criteria for good success. Are we together?
Yes.
Risk analysis is a major criteria for good success. God created Adam and breathed into him, and this gave him an intellect. Genesis chapter 2, verse 7, the Bible says, and the Lord God formed man from the dust of the earth and breathed into him the breath of life, and he became a living soul. The truth that God created Adam and breathed into him and gave him an intellect is seen in one of the words used to explain the Hebrew word for breath, which is the word neshama. One of the words used to explain neshama is intellect. Are we together? So when God breathed into Adam, he breathed, one of the things he breathed into Adam inside, one of the components of that breath was what? Intellect. What was the purpose of intellect? Intellect for analysis. For analysis. For analysis. Amen to Jesus. So God imputed the ability to analyze risks in man at creation, after creating. So God believes in risk analysis. Are you getting what I'm saying? He believes in risk analysis. So if you are claimed to be a child of God and you don't believe in risk analysis, you are actually not behaving like your father. Remember once I was about taking this journey, I was asking the person questions. The person, why do you ask so much questions? You see, I have a problem with people that don't want me to ask questions. I usually have a problem with such kind of people. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you don't want me to ask questions, I have a problem with you. Because how will I put my time, my resources into something I've not gotten relevant information about? Are you getting what I'm saying? I don't believe in going blindly. Faith is not walking blindly. Faith is walking with God's eyes. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not walking blindly. It's walking with God's sight. They say it's called blind. No, you are walking. The reason why you can take that step that everybody says is a foolish step is because you are seeing with God's sight. You are seeing with God's vision. That's why you can take it. So it's not blind. Faith is seeing with God's vision, seeing with God's eyes, and taking this step because you have seen with God's eye. God saw the earth without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And he said, let there be light. Like somebody said, he saw the earth was dark. Now, there was darkness upon the waters, and the waters was upon the earth. It was a double tragedy for the earth. Earth was submerged in the waters, and then darkness was upon the waters. Praise God forevermore. Now, somebody said, when God looked at the darkness, he saw darkness physically. When he looked inside himself, he saw light. Why? Because Jesus is in the light. Are we together? Yes. There's the way, the truth, and the light. He's the light of God. Are we together? John chapter 1, it says, and it was light, and the light was the light of men. The light shining in darkness, and the darkness was comprehended. No, Jesus is the light. So the Father looked at himself and he saw Jesus the light. He looked at the earth. He didn't even see the earth. If he even saw the earth, that wouldn't be good. He saw he didn't even see the water itself. He saw darkness upon the water. When he saw darkness upon the water, he looked in within and he saw the light. He saw Jesus. So what did he do? He chose to speak what he sees inside, not what he sees outside. Now, the problem with the church is that we are moved by what we see outside, not what we see inside. We are defined success by what we see outside. We saw that yesterday, that our value system in today is outside in instead of what? Inside out. And with that value system, all that will happen to you is that you will keep seeing darkness on the face of the deep. You will never see light. But God does not use the value system of outside in. He uses the value system of what? Inside out. When he saw outside was not appealing. So what did he do? He looked inside. And the vision of God is a vision that always looks within, never looks without, to make decisions. Christ in us, the hope of glory. So we look within to get hope. We don't look, if you look at the society, we won't get hope. Actually, the way it's going in these days, we won't get no hope. So we look within to get hope. We look within to get glory. We look within to get joy. When there's no reason to be joyful around, we just look inside. Yes. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right, so God gave Adam intellect. He gave Adam intellect. One reason why God did this was because he knew Adam would fail. And this will expose him and humanity to risk, which thorns and thistles creates. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, one of the teachings we also learned that the reason why God gave subdue and dominion to man in the blessing. If you look at other creatures, he gave every other creature the fruit to multiply and replenish the earth. When he came to man, he gave subdue and dominion. Why? Because he knew that man will fall. And these things that were actually under him before, nature and every of that, will revolt against him. So what does he have to do to survive? What does he have to do? He has to be able to what? Superimpose his authority. So to subdue means to subjugate, to tread that. He has to do that to be able to survive. Yeah. And that's why he gave man subdue, have dominion. The Lord, the God who sees ahead. He sees ahead. He knows the end from the beginning. So he made provision for that. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah. Same way, he knew Adam will fall. And when Adam falls, Adam will be exposed to risk. And so Adam will need his intellect to be able to what? And do risk analysis. What were the sources of the risk? The sources of the risk were what? Thorns and thistles. As seen in Genesis chapter 3, verse 17 to 18. It says, and unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat of the herb of the field. Praise God forevermore. Thorns and thistles are the sources of risk. And God had to give man intellect to be able to what? Analyze risk, which was coming ahead. Are you getting what I'm saying? You see, there's one thing we need to know. God is a God that sees the end from the beginning. And he plans from the end, from the beginning. That's why, child of God, there's nothing you are going through now that was not in the blueprint. And he has put in you what you need to overcome.
Amen.
You see, you don't need to pray to overcome. He has put in you what you need to overcome. He put subdue and dominion in Adam, preparing him for what? The curse on the earth, knowing that man will what? Will fall. He put intellect in Adam, preparing him for what? Thorns and thistles, knowing a man what? For. Praise God forevermore. Now, thorns are sharp part of a plant that can prick the skin. We know that. It can prick the skin. Amen to Jesus. And cause injuries and bleedings. Amen to Jesus. Now, why thistles are waste plants, as rendered by the Bible in Basic English Translation, calls them waste plants. Amen to Jesus. And as rendered by the KJV, they are plants with thorns. Amen to Jesus. So they're also sharp plants. So now thorns here are sharp plants. They have sharp edges, very pointed edges. Some of the time, before you even say jack, they have pricked you. Are we together? Thistles also have thorns in them, but they are also what? Waste plants. Now, the thorns there speaks of the things that can pierce you in life. And you get what I'm saying? The thistles speaks of the things that can waste your time, waste your resources, waste your energies, and also pierce you in life. Now, these things, they stand face to face with us every day of our lives. And without intellect, we cannot be able to thoroughly analyze which one is torn and which one is not torn. Which one is teasel and which one is not teasel. Now, many people are just piercing themselves with teasels. Some relationships that you are meant to have gotten out of, corny relationships. You are just saying, I love him, piercing yourself. Some businesses you are supposed to have abandoned. See, it's my hobby. I just like the business. Even I was talking to someone and she said, she was doing a business and she discovered that the business was rather sucking money from her. She's putting money, but she's not getting money back. Says, and the place where she put her shop, amen to Jesus, over here, they call it container, you know, where she put her container, I said, the person comes after a while and say, Abel, please, I want to bring another person to occupy this place. So shift your container. She has done the foundation for it already. Don't time work. She has to shift again. How much has she spent on foundation? She has to shift and shift and shift. I said, okay, that was not enough. She saw that the business, the provision business, was taking money from her and she was not getting money, but that was a thistle. And there are many of us that are just doing cycles of thistles. You need circumspection. Are we together? All right, thorns and thistles, therefore, are plants and part of plants that can prick the skin and hurt the farmer. They can grow among other plants, thus, they are the risks involved in farming. Are we together? They can grow among other plants. Are you getting what I'm saying? Thorns must just not just be on their own. Thorny plants, no, they can be among other plants. So if you're not careful, before you know, you just get yourself pricked. Are you getting what I'm saying? These thistles, you know, When you have Bible, Jesus was speaking about the parable of the wheat and the tares, and when the servant came and said, Master, we saw tares among the wheat, so he said, should we destroy them? He said, no, don't destroy them, because while the wheat are growing, they look like the tares. While the tares are growing, they look like wheat. Say, if you destroy them, now you both destroy both wheat and tares, but wait the time of harvest. The time of harvest, then you can separate the wheat from the tares, because I think in the harvest time, I think the wheat bend and the tares remain straight, so it's easy to separate. But another challenge with wheat and tares growing together is that the tares suck the nutrients that the wheat is meant to take. So at the end of the day, you don't have a robust wheat because it has shared nutrients with what? Tares. Go ask any farmer. When there are weeds in the farm, what happens? The vegetables, they don't produce very blossom. Why? Because the weeds are taking part of the nutrients. Amen, Jesus. Those are what you classify as what? Thistles. They are draining you. They are sucking you. They are wasting your time. Wasting your resources. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, prior to the fall, we never heard about thorns and thistles in the Garden of Eden. Is that not so? But after the fall, the curse of God on the earth brought about them. Are we together? This makes us understand that there were no risks in the Garden of Eden. There were no risks. Are you getting what I'm saying? There were no risks. It was only a choice which man was meant to use his intellect to make. There was only a choice of every tree in the garden, eat. But the one in the midst of the garden, do not eat. Only a choice. But the issue of risk analysis, it was not there in the garden of Eden. Praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to Jesus. But after the fall, man had to and began to use his intellect to assess the risks of thorns and thistles before putting his hand on any plant. Amen to Jesus. Before the fall in the Garden of Eden, Adam could just go touch any plant, and just pluck from any plant, harvest from any plant. He could just touch any plant with. He can even look away and touch plants. You know. Carefree could touch plants because there were no thorns and thistles. But after the fall, man, they had to analyze the plant first with his intellect to be sure that this one is not a thorn, that is a thistle. Are we together?
Yes.
Praise God. Before putting his hand, if not, he puts his hand and then he's amen to Jesus. In fact, there are some kind of plants that you will not even know that they have some small little like thorns. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you put your hand on there, you feel the pain. Okay. Now, this is all there is to risk analysis. Thinking and analyzing the situation or venture to ensure that there are no thorns and thistles in it before putting your hand, time, money, and life into it. Are we together?
Yes.
Jesus called it count the cost. And he advised it to be done. Luke 14 verse 28, it says, for which of you intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counted the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it. Even Jesus advised counting the cost. Why? Because he knew that now we are living in a fallen world. So now it is not, as it were, hidden in this physical environment. Are you getting what I'm saying? Now we have to count the cost. You have to be sure that when you are venturing into this thing, you are not entering into a thorn. When you are venturing into this, you are not entering into a thistle. When I'm talking about this, I'm talking about both business, relationships, whatever, career, a job, count the cost to ensure that you are not putting your hand in a tomb or putting your life and your resources in a what? Prison. Something that will waste your time, waste your life, waste your resources. Praise God for you. One of the things I hate to do is to waste time and resources. I hate to waste life. I just hate it. I hate it with a strong passion. I hate wastage with a passion. And whenever, even just in life, sometimes when you as an individual don't want to waste, when there are wrong people around you, they make you waste. Are you getting what I'm saying? Praise God. That's why even relationships, we have to be amen. We have to be circumspect. All right. Counting the cost is a very important step to take before anyone goes into any venture. This is so as to prevent the hearts from thorns and thistles. To prevent the hearts from what? Thorns and thistles. Why treat yourself when you can prevent the injury? Why treat yourself when you can prevent what? The injury. Inasmuch as circumspection is important, the human mind is limited and cannot analyze beyond the five senses and all that is availed it. Are we together? Yeah, this is another challenge. So circumspection is very important, but one of the challenges we have is that the human mind is limited. I cannot analyze beyond the information that is availed it. We must have heard of what is called mirage. One of the easiest way to describe mirage is when you are driving on the road and it's a tarred road and you see in front of it, it looks like there's water at the front of you. And you, by the time you come close, you discover that there's no water there. That's a mirage. That's a mirage is what looks real, but it's not real. Praise God forevermore. It's a deception of the five senses. No matter how much we try, our five senses can still deceive us. They can still deceive us. In this light, we need to understand that circumspection is another tax that is beyond intellect. Intellect was given, but it is beyond what? Intellect. Praise God forevermore. Let's give an example. When analyzing the financial statement of an organization, it is what they avail you to you that you analyze. Is that not so? You can't analyze anything beyond what they avail to you. In the event that the organization has made up profits, whereas it made losses, you cannot know. Some have what they call padded account statements. Praise God forevermore. In fact, in budgets we have now, in Africa, we have a lot of padded budgets. Is that not so? Padded budgets. Something that is meant to be $10,000, they tell you it is $500,000. You can't explain how $10,000 gets to $500,000. Yeah, this is the world we live in. So the more you look, the less you see. Are you know what I'm saying? And it's what they tell you that you can know. Especially when you want to invest into an organization, into a business, into a company, you know, and you take the statements of accounts and begin to do all your accounting ratios to try to get, you know, if it's a viable investment, you cannot know beyond what they gave you. They tell you they made so amount of profit. They tell you this is their asset. How will you know? Will you start going to check for all the assets, their properties, their fixed asset, and will you start going to check for fixed assets? You can't know. So most of the time, people make investment, they make it on the grounds of what is available them. And that could also be dangerous. I learned about a particular company that was making up profits for years. Their auditors were making up profits for them, whereas they were actually making losses. They almost crumbled the company. That's the world we live in today. Are we together? It's a world of deception. So in this world of deception, you cannot just absolutely depend on your intellect to be able to what? Become circumspect. Good success is the ability to thoroughly analyze a situation or venture and rule out all risk, then get into it. Thoroughly analyze and rule out all risks, then get into it. Amen. Now, for the risk analyst, they will tell you it is not possible to rule out all risks in any venture. That's what they tell you. They tell you the higher the risk, the higher the return. And they tell you you should make provision for some risk. In a venture, praise God for them. And I don't argue with them, praise God, hallelujah to Jesus. Yeah, you know, but they tell you that it's not possible to rule out risk. All you need to do is to minimize your risk. That's what they tell you, minimize your risk. Do what is called calculated risk and minimize it. But say ruling out all risk is not possible. There must be risk. Are we together? That's what the risk analyst will tell you. Amen to Jesus. They are right, actually, from the human point of view, because with men it is impossible to rule out all risk. But with God, all things are possible.
Yes.
Yeah. You ask me, Pastor, are they ventures that have no risks attached at all? Yes. Say, example, serving the Lord Christ.
Hallelujah.
There's no risk attached. It's only return. There's no risk. Are you getting what I'm saying? No risk attached. Serving the Lord Christ, there's no risk. You say, how do I mean? Peter has the Lord Jesus. After Jesus had told the rich man, say, go and sell all you have. And then come and follow me. The rich man was sad. And Jesus said, it is easier for a camel to pass through afternoon than for a rich man to go to the kingdom of God. And then the disciples said, so no one can be rich in this life. And after that, Peter did not stop there. So you mean nobody can be rich. Eh? Nobody can be. So why would I follow this man for? What? Did not say Alpha? My Lord, I say yes, answer. Say what you ask your question. Say, now that we have left father, mother, brother. Because you see, what this man is saying, you mean that will be purpose for life? Let me better ask my question now. Let me do my risk analysis. Because Jesus had already told them that it is, in other words, rich people cannot go to heaven. We want to go to heaven. That means for us to go to heaven, we have to be poor. Let me ask question now, do my risk analysis. Jesus said, you are free. Jesus knows what they're doing. You are free to do your risk analysis. Now that we have left father, mother, brother, sister to follow you, what do we stand together? Jesus said, fine question. I knew that's where you're going to. You're a business, you're a fisherman, and a fisherman always look for profit. See, no one who leaves father, mother, brother, sister to follow me. You will get father, mother, brother, sister, houses, and persecution in this time, and then eternal life. So that he told him, this analysis you are doing, this is the only venture that is risk-free and you get returns. That's why it's not a normal human venture. Human venture says they had the risk, they had the return. But God's venture says, from human standpoint, no risk, but there's only return. Hallelujah to Jesus. All right. Now, so, with men, it's impossible to get the risk-free venture. Are you getting what I'm saying? But with God, it's possible. You know, Matthew chapter 9, verse 36 says, but Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So, this is where the Holy Spirit is needed, because Him alone can guide into all truth, even the hidden ones. The truths that are hidden, the Holy Ghost can guide us into it. Are we together? He can guide us. John 16, verse 10, it says, howbeit, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. You see, not just only does He guide into all truth, He also shows you things to come. So in that venture, He shows you what is on the way. He shows you what is going to come. Are you getting what I'm saying? So when you know what is about to come, is there any risk again? When you know the future, is there any risk? Why do people talk about risk? Risk is because of the uncertainty of the future.
Yes.
That's what risk is all about, the uncertainty of the future. But when you know the future already, is there any risk again?
No.
This is why we tell you that the Holy Spirit is the only one that can guide people into risk-free ventures. Are you getting what I'm saying? And so, the Holy Spirit, are you getting what I'm saying? Only the Holy Spirit can reveal all the risks involved in anything and tell us whether to go in or not. Absolute dependence on the Holy Spirit in risk analysis and decision making will always give rise to good success. So, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own what? Understanding. In other words, lean not on your own intellect. If you want to use your intellect to analyze situation, you will get into dead ends. But it says, trust in the Lord and lean not on your own understanding, lean not on your own intellect. In other ways, acknowledge Him, and He shall what? Direct your path. Good success is attained when we use our intellect to depend on the Holy Spirit in order to make decisions. Good success is attained when we use our intellect to depend on the Holy Spirit in order to make decisions. This is where a lot of Christians do not have the time. They don't have the time. Are you getting what I'm saying? Some people don't know why we are, as a family, before we came to this vision field, we spent about a year praying for hours every day. Lord, show us where to go to. I said, when we came here, the whole of hell rose up against us. We knew that we were directed. And even now we are praying some prayers again. Even hell is getting angry. But we know that we are on course. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because I long stopped using my intellect to run things. When it comes to making decisions for life, I never use my intellect again. I have to depend on the Holy Spirit. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
It reminds me of the story that Kenneth Hagin told about a particular businessman then who was worth some millions of dollars then. And he said throughout his years of business, he never lost a penny. I said, what was the secret? Whenever a business proposal is given to him, he goes into his closet, he goes indoors, and just begins to spend time. You know, sometimes it's fasting, sometimes it may not be fasting, but he just spends time praying, studying the word, fellowshipping with the Lord, praying, all to hear the Holy Spirit on the matter. Say, sometimes his heart says yes, and his head says no. Because his head, his intellect, has analyzed the financial statement, and it shows that this business will not do well, so don't invest. Say, but he listens to his heart, which is the Holy Spirit. Say, sometimes his head says yes because the statement, the financial statements look beautiful. Who knows if they have been made up or they have been padded? But his heart says what? No, and he listens to the Holy Spirit in his heart. Say, and because he was able to do this before making steps, he never lost a penny. Are you getting what I'm saying? He never lost a penny. I'm talking about daily good success. Allowing your intellect depend on the Holy Spirit to make decisions. It entails our relationships, where we live, the job we do, the business we engage in, the investments we do, everything. We have to use our intellect. Our intellect must depend on the Holy Spirit. I know somebody will say, God gave you your head so you rest. Yes, he gave you your head so you rest. And the way of resting is is trusting in him.
Yes.
That's the only way to rest, trust in him. Trust in the Lord with all thy heart and lean not on your own understanding. The only way to rest your head is trusting in the Lord. If you are not trusting the Lord, you are burdening your head. I'm telling you from experience, man, we have thought, we have brainstormed, we have cracked our brains, and we have decided that we rest in the Lord. Good success is the ability to use your intellect to rest and depend on the Holy Spirit in order to make decisions. That has to do with doing. Amen to Jesus. Now let's look at saying. As small as the tongue is, it never gets tired except when there's a disorder. I mean, has your tongue ever gotten tired one day? Do you know how many words your tongue says in a day? I didn't take time to research on that. But they are words, they are numbers. Are you getting what I'm saying? They are numbers. Not only talking, eating, you know. This, you know. The tongue is just working. And other parts of the body get tired. We've noticed that your tongue has never said one day, I'm tired of working. Except there is a disorder. You know, and this makes us know how strong the tongue is. Small but very strong. Now, science makes us understand that the tongue's tenacity springs from the way it is built. Are we together? And with lots of similar bits of muscles that can each perform the same tasks, that's unique. Unlike other muscles like the biceps and triceps that perform different tasks, are you getting what I'm saying? The muscle is a combination of different muscles, and each of these muscles are all performing the same tasks. It reminds me of what somebody was talking about the airplane. He said one of the reasons why airplanes don't, you know, have crashes like that is because inside the airplane, one part performs more than one function. Are we together? So, peradventure, one of the parts packs up. Another part can make up for that part. That's the reason why an airplane has three engines. If one engine packs up, the airplane can go on two engines and arrive at this destination. That's just a little way to explain the way the tongue is. So many different muscles, but all of them performing the same word, function. Praise God forevermore. Hallelujah to Jesus. Now, it doesn't fatigue. The tongue never gets tired. Amen. And the reason why it's so is that there's a lot of redundancy in the muscle architecture. You can simply activate different muscle fibers and get the same result. Unlike other muscles, such as the bicep, tongue muscles don't develop around a supporting bone. You see that? Tongue muscles don't develop around a supporting bone. Other muscles develop around a supporting bone. The bicep, the tricep, the lats, they all develop around a supporting bone. Amen. Rather, they intertwine to create a flexible matrix, forming what is called a muscular hydrostat. This structure is similar to an octopus's tentacles or an elephant's tusks. You see how strong an elephant tusk is? They can use that tusk to uproot a tree. That is how the same way the elephant tusk is built, that's the same way the tongue is built. You see how strong the octopus tentacles is? That's the same way the strength of the tongue is. This soft party of flesh we call the tongue is not just one muscle. It is a conglomerate of 8 separate muscles. A conglomerate of 8 separate muscles. Just this small thing we see. That is why it is so strong physically. It doesn't get tired. It doesn't get fatty. It keeps working. It never gets tired. Your jaws may get tired, but the tongue, it will be working. All right. The strength of the tongue is not only seen in its anatomy and build. It is more seen in its impact on lives and society. Anatomy and build is a strength, but that is just small when it comes to the impact of the tongue on lives and on society. James the Apostle revealed this. The Apostle reveals this to us in James chapter 3, verse 2 and then 5 and 6. He says, "For in many things we offend all. If a man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body." Once your word can be correct, your body is correct. That's what James is saying. Once you can bridle your tongue, you can bridle your body. Alright? He says, "Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasted great things." Imagine, little member, but boasted what great things. "Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindled. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell." You see how powerful the tongue is. That is why it is very important for one to think carefully about possible risks before saying something. You see, I have a problem with people that just call it as it's coming, release it as it's coming. You know, remind me a story of somebody that, you know, somebody sued the man for character defamation. And when the defendant came to court, he stood before the judge and said, I didn't commit any crime. He said, "How did you not commit a crime?" He said, "I just only said things about him." There's no crime there. At least said, "Did I kill anybody?" "No." "Did I steal?" "No." "So there's no crime there. I just said things about him." Just said, "Okay, no problem. I'm going to give you your judgment tomorrow." He said, "But you know what I'm going to do? Take a sheet of paper. I told him, "Write something." He wrote something. And he told him, "Tear that sheet of paper." He said, "Hold that sheet of paper. Hold the pieces in your hand." He said, "Yes." He heard it. He said, "When you get into your car, so you are going, just throw it away." He said, "Yes, it's okay." "Make sure you spot that where you threw it away." He said, "Yes." He said, "Okay." He did that. But the next day, he came to court, he stood before the judge. He said, "Okay, hey, the sheet of paper that you tore and you threw on the road, shall you remember where you threw it?" Say, "Yes." "See, when you were coming back today to court, did you see the pieces of paper there?" He said, "No." "That is what happens when you release what against people." He said, "You have scattered it. You are the one who released it. But now, you cannot retract it. You can't retract it." And we've had situations of what the tongue has done. It has burned down society. It has burned down families. Are you getting what I'm saying? Because once it's released, that's what James says, it's a fire, it's a burner. You cannot retract. Are we together? Just one careless word can burn down a whole city. One careless word can burn down a whole city. Remind me the story of the missionaries that went to India, the man and his two sons, and the reporter that his wife was pregnant and needed to, you know, make sure his wife gives birth in the hospital and everything of that, and he needs some money. And one big reporter there wanted to ensure he used him to check on that, to pull down the Christian missionary who was attending to lepers. And he was just investigating the Christian missionary and he couldn't find him back. And he went to meet the guys, the people who were angry that their people were going to meet a Christian missionary and he was treating them as leper. And before you know, he said, the snake, say, who is the real snake? We need to burn the snake. Before you know, he just incited just some few statements, incited these guys, and they went that night, gathered around the missionary with his two sons inside the car, set, put wood on top of the car and around the car, set them ablaze. Just words. He wasted lives in words. That's what we say. It's just words now. We just say that. I don't mean what I'm saying. You don't know what you're saying. But you know who you have destroyed with what you are saying. You know the emotions you have destroyed. Do you know the trust you have destroyed? All right. On a daily basis, we talk. Is that not so? This means that we are exposed to risks on a daily basis. Yeah. Since we talk daily, we are exposed to risks. What? Daily. Due to this, circumspection is highly pertinent for all of us. You must say something today. That means you must be circumspect. Because you are exposed to the risks of talking wrong, of releasing fire. History is replete with many deaths and unfortunate events that the tongue has caused for mankind. History is replete with it. Many deaths and unfortunate situations that the tongue has caused for mankind. And I don't think we need more of that in society today. And also, I don't think we need that in the church. We don't need it. Are we together? Yeah. In view of the proceedings, if we must have good success, we must daily analyze the possible risks that our words will cause before we speak them. Analyze it. Bible said in the book of Proverbs, a word rightly spoken is like apple fitted on a golden platter. Bible says, how forcible are right words? And it says, soft words drive anger. Light words are forcible. Wrong words are destructive. And we have these risks. We are faced with these risks every day. Every day. Are we together? This means that we must tame our tongues. We must tame our tongues. Are we together? See, when we're talking about good success, people are thinking about how to get house. Now, for you to get cars, get house, you will come to your office and you insult everybody because you're the boss. You use derogatory words on people because you're the boss. You call them things, family men. You talk rubbish, trash to them. You dehumanize them, demand them because you are their boss. The man is coming back from work and is feeling less of a man. He only needs his wife to tell him, you are my hero. And that's only what helps him. Because you are the boss. I say, that's how I'm making money. In some Christians, see the way they when they get out of church, if you see them in their business spots, oh, you wonder, is this a child of God or a child of, you know, the devil? They say, they just use words anyhow. They hit people anyhow. Are you getting what I'm saying? Very impolite. They're very impolite. You know? You just, because you are in charge, you can say what. And sometimes, I don't know. I don't want to get there. I don't want to keep staying on that topic together. You know? Because we've wrongly defined success. So somebody that can use words to destroy people because he has money. He has cars. He has every other. You define him as success. No, he's not a good success. He can be a success from the world's perspective, but he's not a good success from God's perspective. Because a good success is one whose words are choice words. Are you getting what I'm saying? He analyzes them before he releases them. This means that we must tame our tongues. We have to tame our tongues. Tongue taming is a very important aspect. In fact, the Christians, we need it a lot. Because sometimes when you go to church, you see the way Christians behave. Are you getting what I'm saying?
Yes.
I'm not talking about when they get out of church. I mean inside church. You see the way they behave. It is even that serious that even some people can stand on the altar and they are crossing. They are using crossing words. They are using derogatory words. Are you getting what I'm saying? And they're just causing fire everywhere. And I mean using derogatory words, I mean on the people you are ministering to. Are you getting what I'm saying? I'm not talking about causing the operations of the devil. The operations of the devil must be cursed. Mm-hmm. And you get what I'm saying? You curse the operations of the devil. And when you curse the operation, those that are chosen to be his agents will fall under the curse too. And you get what I'm saying? But when you are ministering to the people, you don't use such. Are you get what I'm saying? And you don't derogate them. You don't belittle them. Taming of the tongue is a very important issue. Because some people have left the presence of some people, and when they leave there, they are destroyed. They are totally destroyed. They are destroyed. I know what pains me is when Christians cannot tame their tongue. Christians cannot tame their tongue. It pains me. You see, Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. An untamed tongue reveals an untamed heart. An untamed tongue reveals an uncircumcised heart. So when you see that Christians, their tongues are not tamed, it's not far-fetched. Check their heart, it's not circumcised. The works of the flesh have created their capital territory in their heart. Jealousy is there. These different things are just seated there, having a field day. So you just know it in the abundance of what comes out of their mouth. Give people that sometimes they may hide it. Some of the times they may want to like do as if ignore them, but put them under pressure or give them a situation that they don't like. Then you see what the abundance, the well, the rivers, the oceans begin to flow. And some of them, they will just say, they release it. When they release it for hours, when they feel releasing, then they feel satisfied. And if they ask them, what did you say? They can't remember what they said. But like they said, the person who defecates on the ground does not remember. It's the person who steps on it that remembers that somebody defecated. It's the person that you hurt that remembers what. And sometimes when they do, they will not say, but why are you angry now? Why are you angry now? As all was telling pastor, say, I talk. I'm not against talking. Are you getting what I'm saying? If you must talk, let your words be seasoned. Not just poop, release the bomb passion, release the AK-47, and you have destroyed everything. Then when you finish, you say, okay, I finished. And when they ask you, what did you say? You cannot even narrate or say, praise God forevermore.
Hallelujah.
All right, now, so, otherwise stated, good success, the ability to daily tame our tongues, which is impossible for man, as we see in James 3, verse 8. Good success, the ability to what? Daily tame our tongues. Why? Because we talk daily. Good success is not the ability to amass houses, cars, and no. Good success is the ability to what? Daily tame our tongues. And this is impossible. James 3 verse 8 says, but the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. Wow. Are we together? James says it. No man can tame it. Are we together? Now, so although this is impossible with man, remember, it is possible with God. Matthew 19, verse 26 again. But Jesus beheld them and said unto them, with men this is impossible, but with God all things are possible. This is the reason why we have to depend on the Holy Spirit. This is where He is needed to help us bear the fruit of the Spirit called temperance. Temperance means self-control. Are you getting what I'm saying? And it's temperance that makes us tame our tongues daily. And thoughts achieve good success. Galatians 3, verse 22-23, for the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Without temperance, you cannot tame your tongue. Without temperance, you cannot tame your tongue. You'll be saying that it's doing you. I cannot stop. I must talk. Let me make a talk. I must talk. It's not you that will be talking. Me, I must talk. Okay, you have to talk. When you finish talking, what have you done to yourself and to the relationship? It takes holy temperance, which is a fruit of the human spirit, which only the Holy Spirit can bring in our spirit to tame the tongue. So that means we must depend with our intellect, depend on the Holy Spirit to bring temperance out of our communication. When we depend with our intellect on the Holy Spirit, so when you get to a point where the Holy Spirit will so tame your tongue that when you want to say something wrong, your tongue will refuse to walk. It happens. Remind me of the story of John Hyde. He was a man of prayer. They changed his name from John Hyde to Praying Hyde. When he wants to pray, he goes. When he wants to make decrees, he just goes and prays and prays and prays and prays. And after praying, he goes to his prayer mountain. After praying, he passes a decree, and that's all. It's done. He saw a man of God merchandising the anointing, and he went to his prayer place, and he started praying. After he prayed for the duration he prays for, and he wanted to pass, as he opened the mouth to pass the decree, he knew nothing could come out. He tried again to open the mouth to pass the decree. So he wanted to destroy the man for merchandising the anointing. He wanted to pass the decree again. No word could come out. He tried the third time, no one come out. And the second one was happening. God said, were you the one who gave him the anointing? When he was fasting and praying, exactly paying the price for the anointing, were you there? Now who gives you the right to pass the judgment on him? Bible says, who gives you the power to judge another man's word? Servant. That is what the Holy Spirit can do. Are you getting what I'm saying? That's what the Holy Spirit can do. He can take you to a point where he tames your tongue, that when you have to say the wrong thing, nothing will come out.
Amen.
And this, when you get to this level, you have begun to attain good success. I believe that somebody has been blessed today. What we do, what we say. You under the sound of my voice, you don't make Jesus another personal savior. Please say this prayer after me. Say, dear Lord Jesus, I come to you today. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that you died and resurrected on me. With my heart, I believe that I'm another personal savior. With my mouth, I confess your Lordship. Because you chose me, I choose to serve and follow your days of my life. Thank you, Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Well, I pray one prayer, Holy Spirit. With my intellect,
I depend on you.
Absolutely trust you.
Absolutely trust you.
To direct what I do.
And
what I say.
Open
your mouth and pray.
Thanks for listening to this teaching. We believe you were blessed listening to this prophetic and life-changing teaching episode. We would like to receive your praise report of your encounter with the Lord through the ministry of Pastor Chimdi Ohahuna. To send in your praise report or make a request, kindly send us an email via chimdiohahunaministry@gmail.com. If you need more information about the ministry and would like to give a love offering today, you can visit our website via www.chimdiohahunaministry.org. Grace to you. Jesus is Lord.